started my position here in October. And I think that is something definitely worth thinking about, definitely worth speaking about. So here is that clip.
Yet, amid all of that, it's increasingly frustrating for the city as we see misinformation and disinformation online is replacing those clear communications about what's happening in our community. When I was first elected in 2014, I received 4 newspapers a week on my doorstep in New Westminster. And with the closing of the Record, we no longer have effective journalism, any journalism, reporting on what's going on in this growing city. I don't know how you can have a city of 90,000 people and not have a local newspaper delivering the news of what's going on in this community. Instead, in that void that's being left behind, we have Facebook. We have Facebook algorithms that are curating what we are hearing through Facebook. As much as we try to use those online tools, that information is being curated in order to drive what drives the clicks. And what drives the clicks is the conflict and the disagreement, not the discussion about positive things. And that narrative change isn't staying online. I was at a residents association meeting 2 months ago now, and really, clearly, irate resident was berating me, as I said, effectively, about changes that are happening in their neighborhood. And the latest thing the city was forcing down his throat with no consultation. And, you know, I cannot criticize that resident, because if I had read what he was reading on Facebook, very quickly, I might have been equally irate. I would have also been really angry at what I was hearing. But almost everything I heard from him was not the reality of what was happening in the city. Now, I was able to connect him with more factual information. I was able to point him to the consultation report we did in his neighborhood and show that 500 people in his neighborhood had provided input already on this topic. We implored people to engage and talk to us about the change that was happening, and for some reason, we missed him. Like, that happens. We missed him. And the bad information filled that void.
You were just listening to a clip from Patrick Johnstone, the mayor of New Westminster, during his State of the City address at Century House in New West. And it very much has to do with, yeah, the sort of nature of misinformation, but also the current media landscape in a lot of ways. You know, speaking as a journalist who is employed to do journalism, it is concerning when you see things like people getting all of their news and information from not just social media, because I do think there is some value in that in certain instances, but specifically from pages and sources that aren't vetted and are there for a very specific reason, and that's a concern that I share. Earlier I said there's even less local news coverage than when I first started this position in October, and what I was referring to was the 3 Glacier Media-led publications, the New West Record, the Burnaby Now, and the Tri-City News, all shutting down. And since then, there has just been a pretty distinct lack of local, hyper-local news coverage within these areas. And it's not as if nothing is being done about this, right? There are people within the community, specifically veteran journalists, that used to work for those Glacier Media-led publications, starting the Save Our Local News campaign. So starting a funding campaign in collaboration with Unifor in order to get a local newspaper for the communities of Burnaby, for New Westminster, for the Tri-Cities. I actually did a piece on this a few weeks ago, so I thought I would play that for all of you, for those who may not be aware of the Save Our Local News campaign, so hope you enjoy. Reporting from New Westminster, BC, this is Danny Nesvetterani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. On April 17th of this year, 3 local news publications, the Burnaby Now, Tri-City News, and the New West Record, all closed their doors. The parent company of these outlets, Glacier Media, cited financial challenges as the reason for these closures. Since then, the region, which consists of six separate municipalities, has been left lacking in local news coverage. This is something that four previous journalists of the now-closed Glacier Media publications are looking to change. In collaboration with media workers' union Unifor, on June 4th, 2025, a press conference was held at the Unifor Western Regional Office, where these four journalists, joined by the union, launched the Save Our Local News funding campaign. The current funding goal for the campaign is $100,000, which will be put towards creating a community-owned publication for residents of New Westminster, Burnaby, Port Coquitlam, Coquitlam, Balcarra, and Anmore.
This bold initiative aims to create a fresh, trusted, and reliable news publication in the growing communities of New Westminster, Burnaby, and the Tri-Cities. This grassroots project shows the tenacity and dedication of journalists who care about their communities and the work they produce. This is not just a fight against news deserts, this is a fight for democracy. Thousands of residents and organizations in the Tri-Cities, Burnaby, and New Westminster communities have lost access to their long-standing local news publications with the recent closures of the New Westminster Record, the Burnaby Now, and the Tri-City News. This project is one that puts communities over profits, and the co-op is asking the community to support this campaign, to support by fundraising, and fundraising starts now at savelocalnews.ca.
Later in the conference, Cornelia Naylor, previously a journalist with the Burnaby Now, had this to say on the importance of the Save Our Local News campaign.
The four reporters here today, Mario, Teresa McManus, and Janice Clue, and I represent more than 100 years of covering New West, Burnaby, and the Tri-Cities. We live in these communities too. Personally, it's broken my heart over the last 2 months to see what happens when communities lose their reliable source of local news. I was the Burnaby Now education reporter for 11 years. Just last week, the Burnaby School Board passed a budget that included $3.3 million in cuts to local schools. With the Now shut down, however, there was no one at that four-hour meeting to report on what concerned citizens lined up to say, or to give context to the board's difficult decision. And that's just one example from one of these cities of the many important local stories that are no longer being told by reporters who really know them. Like Mario said, there has to be a better way.
After the conference, we spoke with Brian Gibson, president of Unifor Local 2000, who spoke about the positive reception that this campaign has already been receiving.
We've heard actually a lot of support, local businesses, local politicians even, and I know that our folks as journalists were concerned about, being independent, and it's like, well, but these are donated to the co-op cause, not the newspaper itself, so they don't have like special favors if I give you something, like that kind of thing. But we are hearing a lot of support about that. Some public too. I mean, I know the mayor of Port Moody was saying a few things a while back about the concern about losing the Tri-Cities publication, right? So. We're kind of tapping onto that, and I've heard lots of talk in the communities about the need for something. Like Mario said, miss that newspaper, because these papers went online in 2023, and then I think that's how it kind of fell apart, because I don't think, as I tell these companies, you're now competing against the New York Times and like all these places that are way, way bigger than you, and you're trying to vie for their attention, and you're just in all this noise. It's so much better to be, community-focused and just be the voice of your community, right? So.
While the fundraising period of this campaign is still in its early stages, Gibson says that Unifor, as well as the journalists involved, will be out around in the community this summer promoting the Save Our Local News campaign. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. Thank you for listening to that segment of mine. And coming up next, I want to play another piece that sort of delves into the realm of misinformation, but specifically misinformation and AI. And this story comes also from Frequency News, but all the way in New Brunswick. It has to do with a professor at Mount Allison University in New Brunswick, whose voice and likeness was used in a political video that he was unaware of. So I was about to say hope you enjoy, but I don't think this is the kind of piece where I should be saying something like that. So I hope you get something out of it.
Hello, I'm Dr. Josh Kirik. I'm an associate professor of environmental science.
That's Mount Allison professor and aquatic scientist Josh Kirik, introducing a 5-minute video he made for Mount Allison talking about the kind of research and teaching he does in the school's environmental science program. This is also Josh Kirik, or at least the first 4 seconds of it is.
Hello, I'm Dr. Josh Kirik. I'm an associate professor of environmental science. I have a lot of students from Armenia, and it was very interesting for me to learn from them how the memory of the Armenian genocide is viewed in Armenia.
In this video, Kirik's voice is set above dramatic music, and he tackles a very different topic, the Armenian genocide and the current Armenian prime minister's attitude towards it.
For the last 7 years, official information sources in Armenia have hardly spoken about the Armenian genocide as one of the most tragic and significant events of the early 20th century.
It sounds a lot like Josh Kirik, but it's not. It's a fake. Something Kirik himself had nothing to do with.
And erase the memory of this tragedy. Share this video with your family and friends in Armenia via messengers.
I was shocked to see myself on that website and as part of that obviously fake news article that was produced. I was confused. I wondered how they, you know, got some of that footage, and then I sort of felt a little bit silly seeing that I was in that position of being associated with a genocide.
The fake Kirik video appears on the website The Insider, which describes itself as a Russia-focused independent media outlet, which is fully committed to investigative journalism and to debunking fake news. The site claims that the fake video is made by Matryoshka bots aiming to discredit the Armenian prime minister, a far cry from what Kirik intended with his original video.
The video that I put out there was about what I do as an environmental scientist. I study lakes and watersheds. And then to have a fake voice over that video describe something that I really don't know a lot about and never have engaged in. So yeah, I was shocked. I was saddened because I realized that this can probably happen to anyone. And yeah, the effects could be life-changing depending on the severity of the fake news story.
Dr. Erin Stoiter is a sociology professor at Mount Allison who specializes in fake news. She says the technology to create the fake Josh Kirik video is becoming more commonplace.
Mostly it's voice cloning because we didn't really see the deep fake of Josh speaking the fake words. Like the part that they showed his face speaking was him speaking the actual part of the video, and then they cut to this like montage. So it was very much a voice cloning type of a situation. And it used to take, you know, like quite a bit of content from the initial original speaker in order to create that, but the technology has really developed in recent years. Some of the companies that develop it say that they only need like 10 seconds of your voice in order to create something like that.
Stoiter wrote the book on fake news. Won't Get Fooled Again is her graphic novel on how to protect oneself against the increasingly fake-ridden internet.
It's very concerning. There are really very few safeguards in place to prevent this. There's been several cases of it, of the Pope giving sermons that he didn't give, or public figures weighing in on contemporary global debates. I heard one case where it was very convincing, except all of a sudden the person said 9-11 instead of 9/11. So clearly the AI reader didn't know how we say 9/11, but otherwise you wouldn't have been able to see reference to that sort of geopolitical event.
Stoiter says that fakes can target individuals, such as in so-called grandparent scams, where voice clones of loved ones can fool well-meaning and caring people into sending money or sharing information with bad actors.
You really think you're talking to your loved one in trouble. It's not someone like, an actor pretending to be your loved one, and grandma doesn't quite recognize, their grandson's voice. This is like literally is the voice of your loved one.
And fakes can also target larger groups, sometimes with specific political aims, or sometimes just to sow chaos.
it's definitely incredibly disruptive of at the individual level and at the like larger societal level. And of course, just really breaking down trust in terms of like people are just like, do I answer my phone? Like, you know, they say, oh, do you know that the Pope just said, you know, Pope just gave an inspiring speech in the news, and you're like, well, how do I know that was really the Pope? You know, like how can you know so many things now? If you think about the journalists and the other sort of fact-checking professions, it's so difficult for them to even try to do that, and let alone do it in a timely manner before the fake news has gotten out, before the real news can even be verified.
Stoiter says the majority of cloning and faking tools have no safeguards in place, though some companies do require strict IDing before use. There are safety tips and recommendations to follow for the general public, such as creating a safe word in a friend group or family to make it possible to weed out a fake if needed. And so far, says Stoiter, the attitude is buyer beware, leaving it up to the individual to try to defend against the onslaught of fakery.
There seems to be a reluctance to regulate some of the new tech inventions, so like being unfolded, causing all kinds of havoc. Now, at some point, there may be a political will driven by consumer frustration and unhappiness that there has to start to put safeguards into place, and then try to mitigate the damage sort of after the fact.
All in all, there's not a lot of good news when it comes to fake news, says Stoiter, and there may not be much that someone like Josh Couric can do to disable or remove a fake video featuring himself and his voice.
It's very, very difficult to pull down a video. There's just such a huge scale of infrastructure on TikTok or YouTube and things like that, so that they need to have various kind of pass keys and things like that installed in order for you to be able to say that's not me and I can take that down. So we need political will and pressure in order to put that type of regulation in place.
Couric says he has asked Mount Allison to take up the cause.
I haven't spent a lot of time, following the trails of it. I suspect that it happens a lot and we aren't even aware of it. And so I've asked my employer, the university, to look into it. This was a video that I made on their request describing our degree programs and learning opportunities in environmental science. So I've asked them to see if there's anything that they can do about that. And they said that they're looking into that.
Couric says the experience can serve as a sort of warning.
You should, look very closely at any information you're taking away from the internet. I think the technologies are very sophisticated now, and with voiceovers and images, they can easily be faked. And so you want to make sure that you're getting your information from credible and reliable sources.
That's environmental science professor Josh Couric, whose cloned voice and actual image were recently used in a faked video published online and then later debunked by a Russia-focused media outlet, The Insider. This is Erica Butler reporting for CHMA Sackville and the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thank you so much to Erica Butler from CHMA in New Brunswick for that piece. We are about only 12 minutes left in the hour for this Speak Up, so we're definitely winding down, and I think after what has been a decently heavy episode, dealing with topics like misinformation and social media landscapes and AI and deepfakes, and also, a TransLink collaboration on craft beer, I'm going to wind down this hour with some local music. So first up and next up, we've got Year Zero by Bloom Effect. This is another local band who is also going to be at the Katsulano Street Fest. So if you are into this song, if you're into this band, make sure to check them out. The schedule is up on the Katsulano website, and I hope you enjoy. Once again, this is Year Zero by Bloom Effect, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. From oil furnaces in the basement to gas stoves in the kitchen, some household appliances burn fossil fuels. So they release planet-warming carbon pollution and contribute to climate change. But now, these appliances can all be replaced with electric models. You can use an electric heat pump to warm your home, an electric water heater for your shower, and a traditional electric stove or electric induction range to cook your food. Some of these electric appliances, like heat pumps, are much more efficient than those that burn fossil fuels. And as the energy grid gets more power from renewable sources like solar and wind, using electric appliances will cause less and less carbon pollution. Some electric appliances are also healthier. For example, air pollution from the open flames of gas stoves has been linked to childhood asthma. But electric and induction stoves do not produce any indoor air pollution. Currently, residential and commercial buildings are responsible for about 30% of global warming pollution in the U.S. But as more people switch to electric appliances and more energy comes from renewable sources, our homes will be healthier for people and the planet. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade, unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
All right, we are at the end of the hour. But before I play the last thing I want to play for this episode of Speak Up, which is going to be a song, by the way, I just want to say that, one, thank you so much for tuning in this Tuesday morning, but also that Speak Up on CJSF and, you know, so many of the other opportunities and programs at the station is a very low barrier thing to get involved with. You know, I think that when it comes to talk radio, there's this idea that you need to have this very specific set of skills or experience, or you need to jump through these hoops in order to get on the air. But I want to just keep reiterating and reiterating and pontificating and whatever other things I can do in order to get people to know that if you want to contribute to Speak Up, this is, in my mind, sort of a blank canvas hour where any sort of talk programming that you're passionate about that you think should be on air, we can help you make that happen. So I really, really hope that anyone who's listening right now who is either a volunteer at CJSF or is interested in volunteering at CJSF, go do that. Go to cjsf.ca, sign up to become a volunteer, and contribute if that's what you want to do, because everyone has things to share, everyone has perspectives that are worth hearing, and me personally, I want to hear it. So, you know, if that's motivation at all, that Danny Nazvedarani, the host of the Tuesday Speak Up and journalist at CJSF, wants to hear you on air, then so be it. But it would really, really make this station even more special than it already is, so consider. Anyways, coming up next and coming up last on Speak Up, we've got a song from the Houseplants. Once again, that is right, I'm going to play another Houseplants song before ending off the hour. This one is called Hypocrite. Once again, they are going to be at Cozzolano for those wanting to see them live. And that's about it. So once again, Houseplants, Hypocrite, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This has been Danny, your host for the Tuesday Speak Up. And coming up right after the song is none other than Democracy Now. So stay tuned for that as well.